say goodbye to Ryan Anderson. Start the show. And for one possible MVP reporter, John Glennon from Broadway Sports joins us next. JG, we asked Tannehill, man, hey, y'all got to start spreading out some of these margins at the end. Our hearts can't take these close wins, but it's amazing. It took all 601 total yards to win that one yesterday.
Yeah, that's the good news is you had 601 yards and you scored 42 points and you're now 5-0. Kind of the darker side is, as you say, you needed every one of those yards, every one of those points. So that kind of shows you sort of the imbalance on this team right now. But, you know, boy, overall, you know, when you look at the circumstances of this team coming back, you know, before the Buffalo game, after, you know, very little practice and so much time off, then turning around after 5 days off facing Houston and to win both of those games. I mean, to me, if they broke even, I thought they were kind of ahead of the game overall, but to win both and be 5-0, boy, they're in great shape.
The Titans got some tough news on Taylor Lewan today. And it made me think about this. When they drafted Taylor Lewan, they had two starting tackles. Now, Michael Ruse was in the last year of his contract at that time, but they had just picked up Mr. Blindside, Michael Orr. And I remember a lot of people thinking, what? And there was a lot of what when they drafted Isaiah Wilson, and now Taylor Lewan is hurt. Is there a chance? And Mike Vrabel, John, was asked about this, and he says, look, we haven't even practiced hardly. So we haven't had a chance to see Isaiah Wilson do much of anything, but it is odd that here we are 6 years later, and there's some real similarities to how Lewan got his job.
There are some real similarities. You know, I think, unfortunately for the Titans, the difference is that Isaiah Wilson is obviously not nearly as far along as Taylor Lewan was. You know, part of that is natural. This year, this rookie class really suffered, you know, no offseason in person because of the COVID. So part of that was natural. Part of that was through Wilson's own fault. You know, he didn't come in great condition. You know, he landed on the COVID list. He had the incident with the DUI charge and so forth. But, you know, I do sense just in watching Isaiah Wilson, you know, in a few practices since he's come off the list, he looks like a leaner, well-conditioned guy. I think he has made, and Mike Vrabel referenced this today, he said he's really made a commitment in that regard, just about, you know, the base where you have to start is being healthy, being conditioned, you know, trying to do the job in the best shape possible. And I think he's at least there. It's going to take, at least a few weeks, I think, before they can expect Isaiah Wilson to make a big contribution. But, you know, look back last year, remember Nate Davis, the right guard, the rookie right guard, missed an awful lot of time in training camp, you know, didn't start for the first 3 weeks, kind of came in week four halfway through, did definitely struggle for a while, but by the end of the season, you know, was pretty solid. So, you know, I don't think we can rule out Isaiah Wilson contributing at some point, just not right away, I don't think in the near future.
We're on with John Glennon from Broadway Sports talking Titans and a 5-0 start.
Well, JJ, I guess talk to me about what do you think, you know, what they'll do as far as offensive line. Will they stick with a Ty Sambrello or will they try to move and match a little bit? What do you think?
Yeah, so Vrabel was talking today, you know, they've got some options. You know, obviously Dennis Kelly has played left tackle as well, you know, could move him over there. It's a more, you know, a high pressure position. You generally, you know, you obviously have your better player at left than right. I suspect, you know, Dennis Kelly right now has become so kind of entrenched at the right tackle and he's practiced all year there. I think they will leave him there and just stick with Sambrello at the left tackle spot. You know, the question was raised today, hey, what about even a guy like Roger Saffold has played some tackle in his career? Could you move him out there? I don't think they'll do that. I suspect what we'll see is probably just this team giving a lot more help to the left tackle position than we've seen regularly. You know, usually Taylor Lewan could handle everything by himself. Ty Sambrello, you know, is going to need some assistance against the better pass rushers in the league. So we're going to see, you know, more double teams, more chipping from a tight end, from a wide receiver, from a running back. But, you know, I honestly think, though Sambrello obviously struggled in the early going, there's no doubt about that, gave up the big sack and fumble to J.J. Watt. I thought he, you know, by the end of the game, he was playing pretty decently, and he opened up some pretty good holes for Derrick Henry. And, you know, this is not a guy who hasn't played before. This is a, you know, 5-year veteran or so in the league who's seen a lot of snaps. So they're not nearly as desperate as they were. I think, you know, we can all remember a few years ago when the Titans were using guys like, you know, Will Svitek and guys of that nature coming off the bench.
Oh, my
gosh, John. On the offensive line.
Watch out!
Oh, man. Exactly.
The old traffic cop routine, but you know, I don't think they're in as terrible shape as it could be, certainly as they were in the past.
Well as the offense is playing and all the records that are being set by, you know, from Teddy Hill to 600 yards to, you know, the King, I mean, are you a true believer that this Titans team is different than in the past?
I think it's different. I think certainly that this offense has given the Titans something they haven't been able to do. And that is, you know, well, we saw it last year with Tannehill too, but just being able to outscore teams, you know, in past years before Ryan Tannehill was a starter, that was not something the Titans were able to do. You know, they could win low scoring games. Now they have the capability of winning shootouts from time to time. You know, they're averaging, I think, what, about 33 points a game. They've got the number two scoring offense, number two average yards per game offense. So it's definitely a different team, but I think they got to, you know, certainly do something about this imbalance. And what I mean, of course, by that is that they, as we talked about earlier, as good as this offense has been, the defense has struggled so much that they're needing those 30, 40 points a game in order to win most of these contests by just a few points.
Are you surprised that they're still winning games as poor as the defense is playing, especially on third down?
Yeah, you know, at some point, you know, you have to figure it's going to come back and bite them. And, you know, I think two of the big categories that come to mind, one you just mentioned on third down, you know, yesterday Houston was 7 for 14 on third downs, you know, 50%. Normally you say, boy, that's way too high. That actually is going to improve the Titans overall this year. They came in at 60%. So that gives you an idea of where they stood there. And then the red zone defense too. You know, I want to say it's what probably, I think, 14 out of 16 times teams have gotten in the red zone against them. They've scored touchdowns, and that's just, you know, unacceptable too. Occasionally you have to force those field goals from time to time. So those are two of the big things. Maybe the one bright spot I saw in the defense yesterday was that for one of the first times this year, I thought they played pretty well against the run. I think the Texans only wound up averaging about 3.3 or 3.4 yards per carry. And that's an area where they've struggled this year too. And you figure at some point, if they can at least make teams, you know, narrow them to just one option, you know, they should be able in those instances to start getting after the passer a little bit better and to anticipate passing a little bit better at some point.
Wrong with John Glenn with Broadway Sports.
At Glennon Sports on Twitter. A nice game for Big Jeff. He was really active and kind of pushed some plays to his teammates. He got a sack. And on that 2-point play at the end, when Romeo Crennel tried to put the nails in the coffin, it was Big Jeff who stuck his hand between the hammers and the nails there and tipped that pass away.
You're absolutely right. You know, that was the we talked about it. That was the kill shot try for Romeo Crennel. He hits that and the ball game is over. They have a 9-point lead. But, you know, I thought Jeffrey Simmons was very insightful with some of the answers that he had about knocking that pass down. He talked about, you know, first of all, how often they practice that in drills, and how last year he had a similar situation with Deshaun Watson and did the same kind of thing, tipped the ball for an interception. So he said when as soon as Deshaun Watson took his, you know, his hand off the ball, his guide hand off the ball, he knew that Deshaun was going to throw the ball low. He knew that he might be able to get a tip. That's when he jumped, got his hand up there. And if he doesn't get his hand there, that's a wide open receiver. That's a 2-point conversion. And we're looking at a 4-1 Titans team.
Blaine was, I don't even know if he's seen the snap counts. He was wondering what happened to Vic Beasley yesterday. I think he played 11, and Derek Roberson, who was finally back, he played 6. I think they combined for 17. No, they combined for 16. He played 5. You still are playing Beasley a whole lot, and you're playing Clowney a whole lot, and you didn't get any sacks from the outside linebackers. You got some pressure But, man, this has been a head-scratching crew for the team.
I agree completely, you know, and sadly for the Titans, you know, obviously they're paying Vic Beasley, you know, $9.5 million this year, and surely expect more than 11 snaps from him. You know, and it would have been one thing if Landry and Clowney are only playing about 40 snaps ahead of him and they're fresh and you don't have to worry about that. But both of those guys, you know, were playing up around 60 snaps or so. So you figure they're in need of a break from time to time. So, you know, the only answer really you can come up with is that the Titans thought, you know, a tired Landry, a tired Clowney was that much better than a healthy, rested Vic Beasley. So yeah, the Titans don't have a single sack, you know, from an edge rusher yet this season. There has been some pressure, but you know, you look at the team they're playing this week. Pittsburgh leads the team, or leads the NFL in sacks with, I think, 24, and they're getting them from their linebackers, from their edge guys like Bud Dupree, TJ Watt, Stephon Tuitt. You know, all those guys have four and a half, five sacks. That's where you need that production from. That's why you're paying guys like Clowney and Beasley. And as much as the pressure is nice, you got to get the quarterback on the ground from time to time.
John Glennon from the Athletic on with us. Yeah.
Yeah. Did somebody ask him why Beasley only played 11 snaps?
Yeah, you know, and he kind of just sort of said that's sort of the way the game played out. He didn't really get into too much specifics there. But again, you know, I just think that's disappointing. And I wonder, you know, we saw the situation with Kamala Correa too, you know, and obviously he was disappointed at his lack of playing time, and you know, he requested a trade and was moved. But you can almost see, and I never spoke to Kamala Correa, but you can almost see maybe how his mind worked. Hey, you know, I was a guy with 5 sacks last year, you know, I had a couple sacks in the playoffs. Vic Beasley comes in, you know, doesn't even go to training camp, you know, and is getting playing time ahead of me, even though he's not very productive. You know, I wonder if that came into Kamala Correa's way of thinking when he requested a trade as well.
Oh, absolutely it did, because they say, okay, let's see what he's got. And then he says, well, this guy has got nothing. So, no, why is he in front of me? Yeah, that's exactly what happened. I don't think Correa was a malcontent until all that happened. But moving on. What isn't happening on a consistent basis, which is shocking to me after you got, what, special team player of the month? What happened with the extra point in the field goal? I mean, I know the block field goal. I mean, what can we say about those things, man? We cannot be inconsistent with that.
No, it's an interesting pattern we've seen from Stephen Gostkowski.
Yeah.
You know, he started off 3 misses. One of those was blocked. Then he had 9 in a row made, including, you know, 6 in the one game. And now we've got 2 misses in a row, and again, one of them blocked. And, you know, on the block, I think it was pretty clear. I don't really know if Gostkowski was at fault at all. It was a guy that jumped a gap in the line there, right in between, I think it was Daquan Jones and Jack Crawford over on the right side, left a gap, and I can't remember who it was, but I think Justin Reed, I believe, just jumped right in there and really was unblocked. So we can't put that too much on Gostkowski, but, you know, missing a short field goal, again, you know, that's a head scratcher. You just don't know what's happening there. And you think all those problems are behind him, and you see something like that. And it just makes you kind of think back to early in the season, and it makes you kind of think back to last year a little bit too, when he missed, I think, you know, 4 extra points, I think it was, in 4 games or 5 games. So we don't know which Gostkowski we'll see necessarily, but I'm sure the Titans would be much happier to see the 9-for-9 guy who hit 3 from 50 plus against Minnesota.
So as I understand it, there was an Adoree Jackson sighting, I guess, maybe on the side, I guess him working out.
Yeah, he's getting there, you know. Yeah, he's been doing some work, individual work on the side field, which is kind of the sign, you know, of a step in the right direction. You know, from not being able to get out on the field at all, you're not quite to the level of team practice, but you're at least working out with the trainers on your own. And Mike Vrabel, you know, sounded optimistic that maybe, you know, he said Adoree was again working out today, and that maybe Adoree gets out there and I think he said does some stuff maybe on Wednesday, and they'll evaluate that. So it certainly sounds like you know, whether it'll be this week or maybe next. My guess is that Adoree will be back sooner rather than later, and it can't come too soon for a secondary that's kind of taking some lumps here.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Will we get some of those COVID guys back, or is that not in the cards?
That is in the cards, apparently. Mike Vrabel said today, Corey Davis and Mycole Pruitt, he expects them back off the COVID list and back practicing here at some point. And that pretty much clears the deck as far as the COVID guys. So, again, you know, you really have to give hats off to the Titans in this situation for getting through this. And obviously they had the one game that the NFL postponed and rescheduled. But still, for getting through all this mess and sitting here now at 5-0, you know, not an easy thing to do, given that the lack of practice time, the lack of continuity they've been able to develop with all these guys on COVID. Getting Corey and Mycole Pruitt should only be another boost to an offense that's really going right now.
Just got about 30 seconds left with John Glennon, the Athletic or the Broadway Sports. But I wanted to ask you this because you asked him about it, Mike Vrabel. You asked him about that tricky 12th man penalty. And he said, no, John, I don't know why people are saying it's intentional. You ask us, he goes, no, we've got to get better with our substitutions, John. But there's video of it. He did it again in the Jets game 2 years ago with somebody found on Twitter. But that old tricky Vrabel.
It was a very tricky, and he was very tricky about his response too. He didn't really want to come clean when asked if it was intentional. I think most people on second thought, you know, I didn't see it happening intentionally at first, certainly. But, you know, on second thought, I think it was certainly intentional and a great, wise move on his part, no doubt. But he probably doesn't want to kind of tweak the league and say, hey, look, I'm breaking your rules I'm not breaking them. I'm using your loopholes to my advantage at a time when the league is kind of taking a look at them for COVID protocol. So probably a wise move by him to, take the more cautious path.
Always a wise move by us to have you on the show, John, at Glennon Sports, Broadway Sports. You can find him there as well. Thank you, my friend.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Hey, JG.
JG joining us. Mike Wilson going to join us to talk Vols at 2:15. More Blaine and Mickey on the way right here on 104.5. This is-